Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
So Frank Lloyd Wright, born on June 8, 1867, is widely considered one of America's most influential architects. When he began his apprenticeship in 1887 in Chicago, it's unlikely anyone could have ever foreseen the impact of his style would have for decades, and indeed more than a century to come. To celebrate this milestone, his great-grandson, Lloyd Nadoff, who's been designing and building furniture at his woodworking shop in Oak Park, joins us this morning. Good morning, Lloyd.
Good morning.
Lloyd, it's been a while, and I have to say, you were on my very first show 5 years ago.
You know, I don't think I was aware of that at the time, but I'm touched. It's trying to be part of something historic.
Yeah, historic. Yeah, not as historic as your grandfather. I was looking at this, you know, 150 years since your great-grandfather was born and the beginning of a legacy that truly, you know, impacts the world of architecture today. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think the degree of his impact is still kind of being investigated because, you know, by and large, most architecture schools don't actually teach Frank Lloyd Wright. So I think this is a good time to kind of take a look at his work, not just necessarily from the perspective of how appealing it is, but also from the perspective of what can we learn from it.
And, sure.
You know, what about it is teachable? And what is kind of applicable to contemporary design as well as kind of contemporary taste.
And there's so many lists, you know, of what people consider, especially this week. You know, people are listing, you know, his greatest works and what they view as his greatest works or most memorable buildings. You know, you must have been asked this before. What are some of your favorites that are inspiring to you?
Well, both Taliesin West are kind of deeply inspirational to me, and it's mostly because I've had the opportunity to kind of like spend extended lengths of time at both, living on these campuses, that really gives you the opportunity to kind of sit and just kind of look at things. And you know, because I'm a designer, I'm trying to, you know, on one hand I'm enjoying the experience, but I'm also trying to analyze it, you know, trying to figure out like, what's really going on here? I mean, sure, I see these particular details that I enjoy and like, but is there a larger system or a larger kind of set of preferences at play here? And what are those? And, I mean, my field is furniture, so that's a kind of particularly odd match for me because I think his furniture is a little bit odd, and so I've never kind of paid attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always kind of, mostly because I wasn't sure what I could learn from it.
Gotcha.
And then about 8 years ago, I started teaching at, well, what was called the Frank Lloyd Wright School of Architecture. Now it's called the School of Architecture at Taliesin. And I started teaching a kind of design build class centered around furniture. And that's when I started to really look at his furniture. And I discovered that there was a lot I could learn that was very teachable. And mostly it was about this idea of, see, we live in a world where there's a kind of preference for shapes in design, mm-hmm. so like very interesting shapes. But Wright's world was one that was more compositionally based, in other words, parts, like how to organize a variety of parts in a wide variety of ways, and then the shape is kind of a consequence. It kind of almost like it just sort of ends up being the shape. But the relationship between the parts is very important. And, you know, in other words, do the parts line up? Are they set back from each other? Do some parts kind of, is there a kind of hierarchy of parts, like some more important than others? I call that kind of compositionally based design or parts-based design. And that's really what I've kind of learned from looking at his work and you know, feeling like I had to kind of figure out something that was teachable from it.
So it was really when you started teaching that you really broke it down differently. You know, it was a different level of appreciation. You were really looking at it on how it was built or why it was built that way or what was trying to be achieved in what he was building.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. I started to become more analytical.
Sure.
And that's sort of the great thing about Wright's work is that it you can enjoy it on a kind of surface level, which is can be very profound, you know, just enjoy the experience of being in his structures and walking through them. But if you really start to look closely and try to analyze it and trying to kind of sort out what's going on there, it will yield lots of information, and it will do it even if you've been looking at something a long time and you think you see everything that's going on there. You'll discover more and more with kind of, it many times it takes sort of like this long sort of casual living in a space to start to kind of notice all the things going on, because his spaces are very complicated.
Yes.
There's a lot of visual activity, which is kind of distracting.
It's very appealing.
It's a very appealing visual activity, but it helps. It's like sort of the surface of the water. If there are waves and stuff, you can't see in, you know?
Interesting.
And so you have to kind of sit in his spaces and look kind of critically and analytically. And then you'll start to be able to see, you can see the busyness, and then you can see the things going, the systems at play underneath. And, you know, this is not really true for a lot of architecture. Even great architects, they don't have that kind of depth to their work.
Well, and I've seen some of the work you have done, and, you know, beautiful furniture, cabinets, bookcases, buffets. People can actually come into your shop with their own designs, and you can make it, but you'll also design a piece for someone, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I design both furniture, and I'm a woodworker, and so the woodworker side of me, absolutely, I'm open to people coming by with their ideas, and we kind of talk about them, and then I'm primarily functioning as a woodworker who has, you know, 20-some years of experience,
right,
kind of giving them guidance on kind of helping to evolve the design, and then obviously then the building part. But then also, and this is sort of the majority of my work, is more kind of custom designed, where people are coming to me from my ideas as well as my experience as a woodworker.
Are you looking at the space that they're putting something in as well, so that it works, you know, within the confines of what they already have going on in the home, or the space in the home, or the lighting? I mean, are you looking at everything when you're doing something like that?
I try to. I mean, I think the context is important. Furniture gets a little bit of a pass compared to kind of more significant architectural elements like walls and stuff like that, in the sense that, and especially with contemporary taste, people don't mind, and then they can really appreciate something that looks different from the context. But yeah, the context is important, especially with built-ins, and I try to get a sense of how people live, you know, what's the kind of priority for them.
Sure.
And then sort of for me, the final kind of ingredient or sauce on something is I try to do the most beautiful thing I can do, you know, with a really like a gorgeous, intense finish and that sort of thing. But that's the thing that you do last, and that's the thing that really kind of sells the experience of a piece.
Tell me about one of the projects you're working right now that you're really enjoying, the woods that you're working with, the design, you know, like just to give people some insight.
Yeah, sure. Well, I'm actually working right now on a kind of a curious little piece. Unity Temple here in Oak Park just finished a significant preservation effort, and they asked me to make a piece, a gift, to give to their largest donor. And for the ingredients, I was given very pedestrian kind of building materials. In particular, there were some glass skylights that covered the art glass. You know, it was on the outside of the building. So it's the most generic, you know, it's just a quarter-inch glass that's slightly obscured, has a texture on it, and then it has that kind of wire mesh inside it. And it's incredibly dirty and jagged, and, you know, they were sort of demoing it, taking it out. And they had some other materials, too. But, again, these were all very generic construction-type materials, some old rebar, as well as some wood trim. But I took some of this glass, and I'm trying to figure out, I'm making a little display case that will that will have the glass. And I've kind of altered the glass a little bit. I've kind of added patterned Japanese paper to one side of it.
Wow.
And then kind of obscured it by putting it behind another piece of glass. And I was just, you know, I think it would, I mean, it's a really beautiful box that it's in, and has a little latch and a glass front, and it opens and everything. So that alone is kind of sweet. But I was trying to create something kind of mysterious from these, you know, very prosaic and dirty, beat up old construction materials.
Well, you wanted someone to stop and look at it and reflect on it, just kind of like you were saying you were looking at your at Wright's work. You want people to stop and look at your work in that same way, and kind of trying to figure out, you know, what your mission was, where you're going, and how you got there.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's important to me that a piece has some sort of depth and can sustain a kind of attention. So if you pay attention to something, you, as you step closer, or maybe look closer, you'll be rewarded. You'll see additional things. There'll be, you know, is it details? Is it something that was obscured at a distance? Things like that. And that's important to me, that that you learn more about something as you get closer. And I think that stands in contrast to a lot of mid-century modern design, which I find appealing, but it's also relatively shallow. You don't learn that much more significant new information as you get closer to those pieces.
Well, beautiful, thoughtful design, amazing craftsmanship, and if you want to find out more about Lloyd, his projects, and something you can commission, you can visit slnatoff, N-A-T-O-F, .com. Lloyd, always a pleasure, and thanks for taking the time this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. News is next on 720 WGN.